Good morning, everyone. It is time for Daily Chapel. The text is Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 42. The Reverend Sean Danzer is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Matthew, the 5th chapter. Jesus said, "Again, you've heard it said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn.' But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. You have heard it said, 'An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.' But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him also the other. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I think that these passages have become some of the most difficult for us of all of them. We live in a time where everything our hymn can take for granted, in particular that everybody knows their calling and their station and has an idea of doing what they should, is common, but it doesn't seem that anybody knows what they should be doing at this point. And so when our Lord says all of these things, which are quite strange, which seem very difficult to fit into our world, and which we know are being used against us by those who don't believe a word of it and would never submit themselves to the same kind of standards, it is all the more challenging to heed our Lord's word nevertheless. It's helpful, first of all, to recall that Jesus begins his Sermon on the Mount by telling us that he has not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, and that no one should be relaxing anything out of the law and the prophets. This shows us that he is speaking this against the Pharisees and against their false interpretations. He's not intending to overwrite the Old Testament or anything that God had commanded in the past. But we should not think only that it is against Pharisees from that time and therefore would have nothing to correct in us. The first portion is that we should not swear falsely. The command of old is not to swear falsely, but rather to perform the things that have been sworn, which already indicate that swearing and taking oaths has some place in life. Indeed, in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and chapter 10, we are commanded to swear by his name, the name of the Lord, which helps us to see what he's trying to stop, all the weaseling around swearing by God's name that the Pharisees were doing by saying, well, I'll swear by heaven, or all of these things that are kind of close to God's name, but not directly his name. This is nothing but a continuation of the old Jewish practice of never saying God's name at all, with the reasoning that if you don't use his name, therefore you never could misuse or abuse or take it in vain either. And thus, as with the strict interpretation of murder and adultery at the beginning of the sermon, the Lord wants to open it up and show us that it's not simply by keeping the outward, simple form of a commandment that we've done it all and kept ourselves pure, as our psalm says. Nevertheless, it's challenging to see how in this world we could take no oaths at all. We see that even Paul is prepared to do this. Even the Lord submits himself to judges as well. What he advocates is to let a simple yes or no be enough. That rather than calling upon other great powers to improve our testimony in itself ought to be true and not require any great embellishment. He says that anything more than this comes from evil, because it is the evil heart that wants to be extra sure, that wants to add more to it, that wants to be quite boastful in front of other people and appeal to them to really believe you this time. And we know that when somebody begins to protest too much, we have a hard time believing that they're telling the truth. Well, the opposite is true also, that those who are in the habit of calling upon all sorts of oaths and swearing repeatedly and always making fantastical statements pretty soon find themselves swearing not just the truth with great drama, but also falsehood. So the Proverbs also say. The next part, the eye for an eye, the law of the tooth, as it was sometimes said, has a clear command in the Scriptures. It's there in Exodus. It's repeated again by Moses in Deuteronomy 19. That in fact, even they are to resist evil. More than that, they're to purge them out. He's speaking about delivering justice in the community of Israel to those who have broken the law and sinned in many various ways. Both to get evil out of Israel, but also so that others would be warned by it and not do the same things themselves. So the eye for an eye and the tooth for a tooth is useful in this world. It's speaking about a fitting punishment and fitting justice rather than an eternally and endless cycle of revenge that, as you know, as we still have many examples throughout the world today, doesn't just get even, but makes it worse until finally it's spiraled into generations-long battles. And yet our Lord says here that we should not resist evil. Certainly this does not mean that we should not avoid evil, that we should not be on guard against temptation, as even our Lord would have us pray, that God would spare us from temptations and that he also would deliver us from evil. Yet it is, as another part of the Scripture says, do not return evil for evil, but overcome evil with good. We see that Christians, for their part, in their particular station as Christians, are willing to suffer abuse. We know that our Lord and his mercy is great. We know that he humbles himself, as we heard even yesterday, to endure so much for us, and that this is his character. So we also are able to endure more than others would be. We are willing to have our dignity, our money, our honor, all of these things be used by others, sometimes even to the point of being abused for a time. The reason we're able to do this is because we have our eyes set on something greater. As our hymn also says too, we are looking especially toward that life that comes at the last day when the Lord raises us from death. And we should say that some stations in this life do still operate by justice, for which an eye for an eye might be the best rule to hope for in this world. Those who are given the sword by God are there to punish wickedness and to restrain evil, resist it by force. And yet that is not given to all of us in all of our stations. There are ways like this to understand this, to see how what the Lord says can be put into practice. There are principles here that Christians observe, and that, yes, the rest of the world, which is increasingly not Christian, doesn't understand. It's helpful for us to look back in history and see that these passages were troubling to Christians in many times. In fact, they were the reason that pagan emperors said Christianity is a kind of religion and thought that actually destroys the world, destroys empires, and can't be taken seriously. But our difficulty is because it strikes us so severely. To see that even though we can understand certain occasions, certain places, certain stations in life that can take these more literally or less literally, the law is still more. The love that God requires is always still greater than we can master. And that is right. Our Lord comes and he does something strange in his Sermon on the Mount. He preaches to those who might be proud, like the Pharisees, assuming that they've done everything. But also, he kind of brings us close to the point of despair by showing us a way that is more and more. If we were to go on just a little bit past this passage, we would come to a great conclusion phrase of Jesus: be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So it is that Jesus has an office, that everything, as we heard yesterday, is for him and to him, and that when he comes to earth, he preaches the law not just in a bare, stony way as Moses had, certainly not in a narrow and simple surface level way as Pharisees of all sorts can use to in fact cloak them from accusation rather than bring accusation. But Jesus treats the law with the Holy Spirit, spiritually, in the power of the Spirit, which then shows that it reveals how great the commandment is and how great our failure is. He reveals the wrath of God. He lifts the veil, as Paul speaks about, so that the law condemns us, not just in outward actions, not just according to stations and persons, but even right into our hearts and desires, that yes, our actions and our justification of our actions comes from evil. We are shown then the depth of our sin, and it makes sense that we are confused to hear the word of God spoken like this. But two things will help us. One, to remember that yes, the Lord's kingdom is not of this world. That does mean there's a place for something that cares about this world, and those who have stations in this world ought to carry them out to the fullest. And yet, their job is to preserve a world that they can never fully save. Their job is to preserve and make functional a world that they can never save. And that's why this world can never be the same as the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. Truly, as Jesus began the whole sermon, the end and the fulfillment of his law is always Christ. And as these laws convict us, especially as we work to put them into practice and find that yet again, we are accused by what they have to command, we are pressed and pushed and compelled to find Christ Jesus as the only righteous fulfillment of what God expects, as the one who, the Son of God, is perfect even as his Father is perfect. This then is the kingdom that is not of this world, the kingdom of faith. Those who trust in Christ Jesus and find righteousness there, in fact, perhaps only there. And thus, who hope not only to do their best in their stations, to serve God rightly, to avoid all falseness and evil, to serve their neighbor at whatever opportunity they can, perhaps even, as Christ has, at their own expense, but above all, to find him in the resurrection of the eternal life that will never end and that will have no such tears and talons and swearing at all. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.